The U.S. Supreme Court accepted three cases involving employment protections for people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The cases accepted by the court will consider whether federal anti-discrimination laws should apply to gender identity and sexual orientation in the workplace. Two of the lawsuits the court will look at involve claims that employers discriminated on the basis of sexual orientation. The third suit involves the question of whether current laws apply to transgender employees. Our next guest is here to talk about the cases and what's at stake. Jerry Thomas is an associate professor of political science at UW Oshkosh. Jerry, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, flesh out a little bit for us, if you will, Jerry, what we know about these cases headed over to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, you're absolutely correct. There are three cases. Two of the cases concern sexual orientation discrimination. So there's a case in New York that involves a skydiving instructor named Donald Zarda. And his termination came on the heels of a complaint from a female customer who voiced concerns about being tightly strapped to him during a tandem dive. And in an attempt to sort of reassure the woman, Mr. Zarda told her that he was, quote, 100% gay. And so he is claiming that he was terminated for being gay. The Second Circuit in that case said that sexual orientation discrimination is motivated, at least in part, by sex and is therefore a subset of sex discrimination. A companion case is one that comes out of Clayton County, Georgia, where the 11th Circuit found the opposite than as the Second Circuit. So in this case, a child welfare services coordinator in Clayton County, Georgia, claimed that after the county learned that he was gay, that the county falsely accused him of mismanaging public money so that it could fire him. So he claims the real reason he was fired was because he was gay. And the 11th Circuit, on review in this case, said that sex discrimination does not encompass sexual orientation discrimination. So in these two cases involving sexual orientation discrimination, we've got two different circuits that are reaching opposite conclusions.
Let's stop at those two cases for now before moving on to the third one. These involve claims under what's called Title VII. Now, this is about sexual discrimination, gender discrimination at the workplace. They don't specifically say they protect people who are, say, lesbian or gay or bisexual, but that's the argument here at the core of this, right, to whether or not those protections do apply here.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So the court is wrestling with the question of whether the language in Title VII, which is part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that prohibits employment discrimination based on sex, the court is taking up the question of whether or not the word sex encompasses sexual orientation.
And now let's throw the third case into it. It involves the rights of individuals at the workplace who are transgender. Where's this case coming from?
Yeah, this case is coming out of the Sixth Circuit. It was a case in Michigan where a transgender woman was working at a funeral home and announced that she was transgender and would be dressing as a woman. And so the funeral home terminated her, and she, of course, filed claiming discrimination based on her transgender status.
And is that an argument over Title VII as well?
That is an argument over Title VII. It's essentially, this is why I think the court is looking at all of these cases together, because the Sixth Circuit said that, if I could read you a quote here, it's quite important. It says, "It is analytically impossible to fire an employee based on that employee's status as a transgender person without being motivated, at least in part, by the employee's sex." So discrimination, quote, because of sex, which is what the Civil Rights Act of 1964 says, what Title VII prohibits, that's discrimination against sex, inherently includes discrimination against employees because of a change in their sex.
Talking to Jerry Thomas, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW Oshkosh, about a trio of cases being taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court involving workplace discrimination and LGBTQ employees. Now, this is all federal law we're talking about here, Jerry. Different states have different stories about what they protect and don't protect. What do we see here in Wisconsin?
Well, in Wisconsin, we are, I should say that I am fortunate to live here in Wisconsin. I identify as a gay man, and Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to pass a law that protected workers, gay and lesbian workers based, gay and lesbian workers in the workplace. So Wisconsin workers are protected. Transgender workers don't have the full protections in Wisconsin. They are protected in public employment, but not in private employment.
What does the situation look as we look at other states around the country? Do we have a patchwork when it comes to specific workplace protections?
Yeah, patchwork is exactly the right word to use. So about, around 22 states, a little less than half of the states provide for some type of protection in the workplace based on sexual orientation and gender identity. A little over half provide no protections. So protections will change depending on which state that you live in. Which sort of brings up the reason why a federal law may be important. So there is no federal law that explicitly protects workers based on sexual orientation and gender identity or transgender status. I should point out that since the late 1980s or early 1990s, there's been some sort of Employment Non-Discrimination Act introduced into Congress but never passed.
Has there been a growing level of support for that law as it gets reintroduced in Congress over the years? We've seen some pretty significant changes in public opinion on LGBT issues.
That's true. I would have to go and check that. I'm not exactly sure, how we could measure the growing support for it in the Congress. Most of these these bills never even get out of committee. So we don't actually know how members of Congress actually would vote.
Gotcha. So there's no number from year to year. I get it. So let's turn back to the Supreme Court now. They've agreed to take on these three cases. What is at stake then when and if they issue a ruling on this?
Well, there's a lot at stake. So in the absence of having a federal law that prohibits discrimination against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender employees, the court could conceivably say that these categories are subsumed or are encompassed within the category of sex. So the court essentially could say, through its ruling, that there is nationwide protections for all LGBT employees. So a lot is at stake here. I should also say that there's a lot of pushback, that there are circuit splits in where the Second Circuit is deciding the cases differently than the 11th Circuit, which is probably, I suspect, is the biggest reason why the court has agreed to look at these cases so that they could provide a little bit more clarity in the law. So it shouldn't depend, protections based on a federal law should not depend on where a person lives in the country. So I think the court is very aware that this is an important case and it's going to affect the lives of a number of citizens.
We're talking to Jerry Thomas right now. He's an associate professor of political science at UW Oshkosh. He's with us to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to consider three LGBTQ-related discrimination cases during their next term. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these cases heading to the Supreme Court? What are your thoughts on discrimination in the workplace? What would you like to see from the U.S. Supreme Court? And what do you think about Wisconsin's current levels of protection when it comes to employment discrimination? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about a trio of cases headed to the U.S. Supreme Court that could determine how anti-discrimination laws at the workplace apply to the LGBTQ community. Jerry Thomas is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW Oshkosh, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How would you like to see the U.S. Supreme Court rule on this issue? Do you think civil rights protections at the workplace should apply to people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender? If you've experienced discrimination in the workplace for these reasons, we'd love to hear your experience. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jerry, looking at these cases before the Supreme Court, I'll never ask anyone to try to predict what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do. But based on, well, do we have past cases before the Supreme Court that might indicate what they'll be looking at, how the justices might vote?
You're exactly smart to say, you know, not to get into the business of trying to predict what the court is going to do, because the Supreme Court will do what it chooses to do. But there are some cases and indicators that we might be looking out for. So one is that this is not the first time the court has taken up this issue of trying to define exactly what the word sex means in Title VII. Back in the 1970s, the court had to address the question of whether or not pregnancy discrimination was subsumed or included in the word sex discrimination. And in that case, the court said no, it was not. Congress, in response to the court's action, said, we don't really agree with the interpretation that the court has given us about this. So they passed a law that essentially amended the Title VII, that called the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, that said, it made it clear that sex discrimination does include pregnancy discrimination. So we have that we could look at. I might also mention that, especially concerning the issue of transgender discrimination, there was a case from 1989 called Price Waterhouse, where a woman was denied promotion to partner at the firm because she used swear words, she was aggressive, she did not dress femininely enough. And the point that we take from this case is that the Supreme Court said that discrimination based on nonconformity to gender stereotypes is a form of sex discrimination. So we've got, you know, a couple sets of cases that indicate that the court might go either way on this.
One additional wrinkle in the case involving a transgender employee, I believe the funeral home, in the case, the funeral home owner had invoked the concept of their religious freedom potentially being infringed if they couldn't fire an employee being transgender. Does that make this case a little different, the involvement of the religious freedom issue?
It does. And it's a sticky issue that the court has been addressing. Some of you may be familiar with the cake decorating case that the court took up a while back about whether or not a baker must bake a cake for a gay wedding. And in that case, in my opinion, the court sort of dodged the issue. They, ended up sending it back or remanding the case on appeared to be a technical issue, but they really didn't confront the issue of whether or not the baker's claim to freedom of expression or freedom of religion was how that was going to square with the gay couple's civil rights, essentially, in a state where there was a non-discrimination statute. So it's a little uncertain how the court might address this particular issue.
This is all about workplace discrimination, these three cases. Does this apply, or are there relevant issues when it comes to, say, housing discrimination?
There are. So it's a little bit of a different bear. In general, states can, when they pass non-discrimination acts, one is generally geared towards employment, and that's what these cases are about. The others fall in the category of public accommodation, which includes everything from, you know, hotels to, stores and those types of things. So they fall under, and housing, they typically fall under the rubric of public accommodation. But these are a little bit different because they involve employment.
Now, it seems like the courts could step out of the equation if Congress were to step into it and clarify once and for all Title VII does or doesn't apply when it comes to protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. Could Congress just get the courts out of this?
Congress could absolutely do that. They could, step in and do exactly what you said and say, let's just make it very clear what we mean by sex, whether sex includes, the designation that people are assigned at birth, or whether it includes a change in sex, as in, transgender status, or whether it includes sexual orientation. This is a statute, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so Congress wrote it, Congress has amended it, and Congress can continue to amend it if it so chooses.
And finally, Jerry, in our last minute or so, sometimes the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't want to make big precedent, and we've seen in the Roberts Court sometimes where they won't deliver the stunning verdict that people want. They take a really narrow view that doesn't necessarily set a lot of precedent. Is there a way to do that, or does this really just go one way or the other?
I'm a little bit uncertain about that. Where the court is going to go, I mean, I can speak to what the court has done in the past, which is not to get too far ahead of the public and Congress on social issues. That's not really the role that I understand the court to take. But it absolutely could do that. The court may find that the time is right and that our understandings of sexual orientation and gender identity have changed enough that it's time to interpret sex a little bit differently.
We'll leave it there. Jerry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
That's Jerry Thomas, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW Oshkosh. He joined us today to talk about the trio of lawsuits the U.S. Supreme Court will look at during their next term. They tackle the issue of workplace discrimination against LGBTQ employees.